Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it on the John Chuckery Show, halfway home with you here on a Dynamite Wednesday. 404-741-0929. That, of course, is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to leave us a comment about anything we've been talking about here on the show this evening. Download that radio.com app, because that's how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you're not spending as much time there, but want to listen to the radio station, do it through the radio.com app. Put that on your device, the simplest, easiest way to listen to us when you're on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on the platforms there. As always, follow us on our personal Twitter handles. It's the best way to be a part of the show. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Your water cooler talking points, of course, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's back in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90. Well, we got lots of questions without lots of answers still in the world of college football, and lots of storylines, though, with the Ivy League, with what Stanford did today. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Friend of the show, Bill Bender, is joining us. Of course, national college football writer for the Sporting News. You can follow Bill, as always, on Twitter. It's at BillBender92. He's got an interesting article up there today on SportingNews.com about the Ivy League and the effects that it may have trickling down into FBS. Bill, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for being on the show this evening.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. And as for effects, I know we're going to get into it, but I think Ohio State pausing their workouts probably has one more impact on me right now.
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, I think the thing, Bill, is, and I don't know, I want to say that maybe people were naive or things like that to think that everything would just run smooth as could be. I mean, you know, there were going to be kids that got positive tests. Now, what happens from there and how they handle it, to me, is the story. But does it feel like maybe there was some sort of, I don't know, naivete or some pie-in-the-sky thought that, okay, well, college football said they're going to start on time and everything's just going to kind of run smooth, and then, uh-oh, here comes a few bumps in the road now for everybody.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, you look at that, and we're hitting the big bump now because we're so close to the actual season starting, and or when it was supposed to start. Now we really got to think of some alternatives because of the spike that everybody, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but these spikes were predicted that it was going to spike again, and here we are in the middle of it. So the good news is the mortality rate has gone a little flatter. And I think, you know, no athlete has suffered any serious consequences yet. So all of those things add up to where we're at in terms of, we'll see, but that's what I've been saying for 2 months. I'm so sick of saying it. We'll see, or, you know, take it day by day and all those things, but those days are running short.
You know, Bill, I guess I'm not really surprised by the Ivy League's decision to push things back, and, you know, they're kind of following Mark Emmert's lead a little bit when he said, hey, if you're going to have virtual classes, I don't see how you can have athletic competition. And, you know, what was it, just a few days literally before, maybe a week before this announcement that we got today or the other day, I guess, when they said by the 8th we'd have a decision, you know, what was it, Harvard said that all their fall classes were going to be online. And, of course, you know, the joke was the fact that you still had to pay $53,000 or whatever and all that. So, you know, I know people are, I don't want to say people are like kind of like running with this, but, you know, there was this thought that, okay, they were the first to cancel basketball. You know, they, you know, Mark Emmert has pushed the idea of, if you're not having, you know, on-campus classes, then how can you have on-campus sports? So to me, this is not really a big surprise or anything to really say, oh, okay, here's the blueprint for what college football is going to be like this fall.
Well, exactly. And I don't think the other decision comes that for me. I don't think if any of the other lower levels like the FCS or D2 or D3 and you know, the question marks that they certainly have, I don't think that would do it for me. And I don't even think the group of five would do it for me. So I think what it comes down to is those money-making machines that, you know, out of the Power Five. Is that what it comes down to? Are those the only 66 schools that are going to play? And I say 66 as in the 65 Power Five conferences and a certain school at South Bend that everybody loves, Notre Dame. Is that the field that we get? And it's possible.
National college football writer for Sporting News, Bill Bender, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, one thing I haven't really heard talked a lot about, and I guess I probably know why the NCAA hasn't pushed it, but, you know, we have name, image, and likeness that's coming very, very quickly. You know, and the NCAA, while it's tried to drag its feet on all this, conferences and state governments and things like that, and, you know, have tried to push this thing forward. And I wonder if some of it is, as cynical as this may sound, Bill, but it is trying to make sure that players want to participate in athletics. Is part of it dangling the carrot of name, image, and likeness that, hey, look, you've got this ability to make money coming up very soon. So, you know, maybe that's trying to sway, for lack of a better word, maybe the sway the emotions of somebody to want to play fall sports versus, you know, sitting out and not doing it. Hey, here's a chance for you to make money coming up here very soon. So maybe that's more incentive to want to try to get kids to make sure they play this fall.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, because it happened to coincide with the COVID era and everything we've dealt with over the last couple months. It's really unprecedented. I think the NCAA is trying to be more student-athlete friendly, even though it is one of the biggest punching bags on social media. I do think they're trying to do things like that to make it better for the athletes. The transfer rules have become more friendly. I wouldn't have, if you asked me that 10 years ago, that student-athletes would have name, image, and likeness and be able to have the ability to perhaps one-time transfer anywhere within the near future, I would have told you shouldn't be on radio. But, not you should, but maybe somebody else I would tell that to. But you know what I mean? Like, I just think they are trying to make some changes. What the pandemic has done, though, is forced those hands a little more, and I think it's even forced the hand of the Power Five to really examine what they need to do. And to me, this is totally separate. I think it's called into question the need for a college football commissioner that oversees everything.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I do think, Bill, that I do think, though, I'm starting to, my personal opinion, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is that I do think that there'll be some limitations to out-of-conference play that I think the travel, you know, as much as we hyped up, you know, every week it seems like somebody's signing a home and home. You know, it's Alabama and Ohio State now, you know, and it's UCLA and Georgia and it's this, that, and the other. But I do think maybe for this year and even next year that we could definitely see a reduction on how much travel because, you know, even Major League Baseball is trying to keep it as close as they possibly can. And I think that's the thing that has to consider. Look, the FC Dallas and MLS, you know, just traveling to Orlando for this MLS tournament had to pull out because literally on the way there, everybody got contracted with it. 10 players and a coach and their head coach and everything. So to me, that's the thing that I think we're going to see is maybe some of these out-of-conference matchups gets put on hold for a year or two because of the travel aspect.
You know, I think you're dead on because to me, college football could certainly take a cue from the MLB here. Where, you know, I know you guys probably feel the same way down there. Like, to me, the MLB doing the NL Central and the AL Central schedule is awesome. Because I'm an Ohio boy, I'm going to watch all these baseball games and be super excited about it if they do it. and it's hyper-regionalized. College football is already a sport that lends itself to that regionality. I think I said that right. So why not just, if we have to take a pause, take that pause, try the season in October, do between 8 and 10 games, keep them all in conference. I think you and I and every other pundit out there can figure out who the four best teams are, and then we work ourselves inside out on the bowls, try to have the bowl season, or try to have the four-team playoff. If we can get the New Year's Day 6, great. One bowl, I don't know, you know, the Bahamas Bowl, for example, that's tricky because you're going out of state, out of the country. And I think those bowls might feel this a little bit, but that's okay as long as we get some semblance of football.
Yeah, I agree. Bill Bender joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline, national college football writer for sportingnews.com. And you know, Bill, I wonder too if college football is going to try to get their season done. You know, obviously traditionally, you know, it's Thanksgiving weekend is, you know, when we get rivalry weekend, and then you know, that following week on a mixture of days we get into conference championships, and you know, that first weekend in December is the SEC title game. But I wonder if there's some thought about moving up the timetable, you know, because baseball has said, look, the 27th is our drop dead date. We have to stop the regular season here to get our playoffs in for fear of another fall outbreak. I wonder if college football is thinking the same way of, okay, let's try to make sure that we have everything done by this drop-dead date so that if there is any sort of breakout, we have as many games played as we can beforehand.
I mean, that's a possibility. I know a lot of the colleges, and you know, you're talking about basketball, they probably face that more. There's a possibility that we would not have March Madness for 2 years, and that's just, I hate spreading this gloom and doom, but I mean, I wonder. I think the thing with the Ivy League today, saying we're not even going to entertain doing anything until January 1st, is incredible. You know, it hurts. It's really hard to talk about. I mean, I get depressed when I have to go on the air and just say, you know, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. But there's something to your point. I mean, if they can squeeze it in before a third spike during flu season, if we don't have a vaccine, again, with me not being a doctor, obviously, I think that's something these people are considering. And one thing, I mean, we can scoff at the Ivy League all we want, but those are some of the most educated universities in the country. I'm a lowly Mac grad, but I'm very proud of the Mac school I went to, the Harvard on the Hocking, as we like to call it, at Ohio University.
Well, listen, as an Akron U guy, screw Ohio U. Bill Bender joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Follow him on Twitter. It's at BillBender92, of course, national college football writer for the Sporting News. Check out his latest article breaking down this Ivy League decision to hold off athletics until January 1st. Bill, as always, buddy, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll chat here soon down the road.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. When we get back, time for That's Life. At least there was some good news today. We'll get to all of that next. It is the John Chuckwa Show. Hanging out with you. Dynamite Wednesday, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckwa Show. 9:22 on a Dynamite Wednesday. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Leave us a comment there. Don't forget the radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station outside of your vehicle. At 929 The Game on social media. At JMCH316 on Twitter. At JarvisD90 on Twitter. Don't forget to, since we had Bill Bender on at 9 o'clock tonight, we will do the Falcons flyover. I got a couple stories that I want to get into tonight. So we'll do the Falcon flyover. No NFL squib kick tonight, so we'll do the Falcon flyover coming up at 10 o'clock for your listening pleasure. Well, today was at least a good bounce-back day on the market. You know, needed one of those days, man. I mean, this recovery thing is going to be very interesting to watch over the next few months. I'm very curious to see, really over about the next, honestly, about 6 weeks before we get into the fall, you know, can kids get back to school? Can sports get started back up? Because those things will have a definite impact on the economy. And, people's mental state of mind and well-being and things like that. But, I mean, if it's schools are shut down and it's virtual learning and stores are closing and restaurants are going backward and this, that, and the other, market's gonna get punched in the face for it. It's not going to be what it was in, you know, March, but, you know, the market's going to feel it. And some things are really kind of fighting and struggling and scratching and clawing. Couple other things about the market. Jarvis, my stock that I've been, that I got into, this AYRO, the electric vehicle stock. We talked about this last night, how they expanded their factory in Austin, Texas, now where Tesla is moving into, and their stock has been on a hot streak. Another 8% up today. I'm now 138% gain in that stock since I bought it. So I bought a chunk of shares in it, and I'm 130% up, and I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping I can get lucky and, you know, hit good on something like that. I'm hoping I can hit, you know, hard on it. Now, also today, I saw a story where United Airlines is laying off, or going to lay off, it looks like, 36,000 employees. You know, airline industry already fighting, scratching, calling. Although, I got to say, I flew Delta, and I will say shout out to Delta. Everything ran smooth. Everything ran great. They're not selling the middle seat. Everything's clean. They give you multiple Purell packets of wipes to clean everything off. They even give you the snack and the little water bottle all bagged up. So all they got to do is just hand you the bag. It's all prepackaged. Okay? So, honestly, it couldn't be any easier or better to fly than what was on Delta. Now, my folks flew American Airlines, and they said that the middle seats are being sold on American, which I did hear that. But Delta said, we're going to keep the middle seats open. But the flights I went on, they were packed. And I was at Atlanta Airport at 6:30 on Friday morning, packed. 6:30 in the morning on Friday, packed. Now, I get it. Holiday weekend and things like that, you had stuff going on. You know, truthfully, I guess it wasn't even a holiday weekend yet when we went. That was on the 26th of June when we traveled, and it was packed in. So people want to get back, but United announced today 36,000. And I've put an alert on my E-Trade account. Jarvis, their stock only dropped a little bit today. It's trading around $35. But I put an alert on there, and I don't know if it'll get this low or not, but I put an alert for $25. If United gets to $25 a share, I'm gonna gobble up some United shares. I'm gonna gobble it up, because I still am one of those people that believes the airline industry won't go away. I don't care how many people they lay off or this, that, and the other. I'm one of those people that believes, look, If the airlines survived 9/11 and all the mistakes and things that went on there, the government's not going to let them go away. Fair, unfair, right, wrong. You, again, get in front of the water cooler, gather up all your friends and colleagues, and have that discussion. I don't care. But I do believe that the government wouldn't let the airline industry go away. And you've only got, you know, you've got three big main carriers, Atlanta, Delta, American, and United. So I'm curious to see what their stock does, but I've got some alerts. I'm going to be watching United Airlines and see what they hit at. By the way, they trade higher than what Delta trades at. They're trading about $35 a share. Delta right now is sitting about 26, 27 or something like that. I mean, it was getting up there, and then it dropped back down when, you know, more bad news was coming along and things like that. Now, another company that filed for bankruptcy today, and I think that this is going to be the story a lot of places, Brooks Brothers. Jarvis, are you familiar with Brooks Brothers? You familiar with Brooks Brothers men's clothier store? Have you heard of them before? Yep, they I've been to the one in Alpharetta. There's one up by North Point Mall. And then they also have an outlet, a factory outlet, over in Woodstock at that outlet mall over there. Now, here's the thing. And Jarvis, have you ever shopped at Brooks Brothers or been in there? Have you ever shopped there before? Okay. Here's the thing about Brooks Brothers, okay? Now, listen, they've been around since 1818, okay? They've made clothes for 40 presidents, okay? They've been around, and they've been a big brand name in men's fashion. But they are not cheap, to say the least, okay? Now, listen, would I love to wear Brooks Brothers stuff and suits and coats and all that kind of stuff? Yep. I can't afford it. I can buy some stuff, and I can buy some here and there, but I couldn't outfit myself in Brooks Brothers, or I'd have to get a third full-time job, okay? And I really wonder, because there were some women's fashion, top-line fashion lines that are going away. Brooks Brothers is going to close up a bunch of stores, they said. I wonder if, Jarvis, come on air, I wonder if the high-end clothier lines are going to be one of those things that is going to go away as we know it. Like high-end suits. Will there be niches and things like that? Yes, because not everybody is poor, and there are people that have money. But I think a lot of these, you know, where you get into, like, you know, Nordstrom, Ann Taylor, Brooks Brothers, these kind of more higher-end, you know, retail stores for clothing, I don't know how they survive. I don't know how they survive moving forward, because unemployment and things like that, people just are not going to have the money to dump into high-priced clothing for, you know, especially if they're not working or being able to go out to bars. I guess Jarvis left me. I guess he went out. He bugged out on me. So I'm going to be curious to see. Well, all right. No, I was asking. I mean, I do think some of these high-end clothing stores for men and women, Nordstrom's, Brooks Brothers, you know, I guess maybe Ann Taylor in some way, some of these higher-end stores, I don't know how they survive moving forward. If you can't go to the clubs and dress up, if you can't do a lot of going out, if you don't have a job and you can't afford them and this, that, and the other, I think a lot of these high-end fashion stores, that's going to be one of those things that we're going to look back and say, remember when they used to have those things? I don't know. I mean, I think that's one of those industries to really keep your eye on as to how long that they can survive, you know, all of this. I mean, Brooks
Look
Brothers
at this
has been
too.
Around.
Like, you also got to think about this. Like, a lot of companies are going to say, you know what, y'all just go ahead and work from home. So what's the point of having dress clothes if you don't have to go into the office anymore?
It's another great point. That's a great point, Jarvis, is as we get away into more virtual online working, you're exactly right. You know, companies have already moved away from the blue and gray suit days, you know, of the 60s. You're right. I mean, people are going to work from home, so they don't need to have the nice dress suit or the dress or whatever. That's another great point, is that, you know, this is going to be one of those things that I think you're going to look back and say, okay, you know, that was one of those things that suffered in the pandemic. So it's a shame. I mean, those, you know, that's a great long-term, you know, American company, Brooks Brothers, but it's a sign of the times, man. You know, every week, you know, last week I saw GNC filed for bankruptcy. You know, I mean, it's the marketplace, man. It's unfortunately where we're at in this economy, that companies that were already struggling, now it's exacerbated, as the term was used on it. All right, very quickly, one last story I want to get to. Have you seen this video of this guy in this altercation at a Costco, actually down where I was, I think down in the Fort Myers area? This guy got into an altercation after an older woman at Costco was telling this guy that he needed to wear a face mask and all that, and he got upset about it. Then some guy came to the old woman's defense and, of course, took his phone out and started videoing the whole thing. Okay, and the guy got heated. He said, you know, you're invading my space, I feel threatened, and he started yelling. By the way, he's wearing been running the world since 1776 t-shirt. Okay, so you know where this guy's coming from already out there. But this is one of those times that I will tell you, and you can find it everywhere online, the guy in Costco in Florida, okay? This is one of those times, though, that honestly, everybody's wrong on it, okay? Now, I think this happened in the Fort Myers area. I was in Fort Myers. Lee County did not pass any kind of ordinance that says you have to wear a mask. Should you? Yeah. I mean, we were doing it when we went to Publix and stuff like that. We were wearing masks and stuff like that. Did we wear them at the restaurants? No. Did we wear them at the beach? No. Did I wear them at the pool? No. Okay? But if you're going to be out in public and things like that, I think it is a good idea to do it, to not spread it to other people. But with all due respect, it's not that old woman's place to tell that guy what he has to do. Then at the same time, you know, everybody's got to have their cell phone out, video out right now. Okay? That's got to stop too in some things. I mean, not every single thing needs to be a videotaped altercation. Okay? Are there times? Yes. But we've turned every moment of our life into a videotape altercation. Whether it's a good one, a bad one, a tame one, a violent one, every altercation becomes that way nowadays. Okay? Now, the goofball in the, you know, running the world since 1776 shirt, I don't know what he was so angry and upset about, but he got fired from his job. He's an insurance salesman and got fired from his job. Okay? So, he's going to pay his own penance and all that kind of stuff, you know, for it. But I don't understand the idea of why everybody has to be a, you know, a ship stirrer. And I wanted to say another word that rhymes with hit, but, and then put the S in. As Stone Cold Steve Austin said, if you take the word hitman and put the letter S in front of it, you know exactly how I feel about him. So, if you take the word hit and put the letter S, you know exactly how I feel about all of that. But the guy was a goofball for getting upset. The guy videoing the thing was a goofball for deciding he needed to step in. And the old woman, with all due respect, doesn't have a place to tell people what they should or should not do. If you have that much fear and you don't like it, then don't go out. If it's mandated and the law and you can be fined, okay, let the people that are supposed to police that. But I don't need her telling people what to do if it's not required. Sorry. Again, it's not your place. I don't give a crap what you think society is in this, that, and the other. Keep to yourself. If you have that big of an issue, don't go out. Don't go out. Get somebody to go out for you. There are organizations that will do it for you if you need somebody to grocery shop for you. So I look at this as, I think truthfully, everybody was wrong in all of this. Everybody was wrong in all of this. But listen, Mr. Running the World since 1776, he got fired, and you know, that's what he gets for going nuts on everything. All right, when we get back, Kelly Kroll, who is the new dugout reporter for the Atlanta Braves, she joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. We'll let you hear that interview as the Braves held their first inter-squad scrimmage today. It's all coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out Wednesday night, Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.